I want to lift the mood now because I've got our funny man, Greg Carrick, come in to have a talk with me. Now, I say this with a bit of tongue-in-cheek because normally when he takes over from me on a Sunday night, he gives me a bit of a hard time. But, so
you deserve it.
I invited him in, so I must be a glutton for punishment. But I really want to talk, Greg, about photography. And one of the things I just want to run past, Greg, When I was talking with photography a couple of years ago with Greg on this show, and we were talking about an old house that's on the road between Wooreallock and Pakenham on the left-hand side there. And Greg said, well, if it picks your interest, you should go and take some photos. Well, I never did. But, Greg, I don't know whether you noticed, but that's just come up for sale.
It has. It's made quite a splash.
And I still can't find out. It's been vacant for many, many years. And I've seen inside it now. I just saw the photos that the real estate on. It's been almost wrecked inside. But I still can't find out how a big mansion like that can lie idle for 20 years.
Yeah, obviously some... it belongs to a family. It belonged to an individual, obviously, at some stage. Yep. Whether they've gone bankrupt or they've passed away or something, and now it's left in the family and they didn't know what to do with it because it would cost megabucks to fix. It's quite derelict.
Yep.
And graffitied and, yeah, it would cost a lot of money. So it's a bit of a white elephant. So it's about time it was sold.
Oh, I agree. But it just amazes me because you would think somebody's been paying rates on the property. If not, well, it can't have a mortgage, otherwise the banks would have seized it back. You would have thought if they're not paying rates that the council would have sold it up for the rates, you know. So somebody has let it sitting there. I'd be fascinated to know, and I can't seem to find out who built it, whether it's still in the same family or whether someone built it and someone bought it. I'd be fascinated to learn it. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about photography, but I know that you said if something piques your interest like that with me, I should have stopped and taken some photos, which unfortunately I never did, but now I've seen what it looks like. Greg, I just want to talk to you just... We want to talk about photography in general, but I know you did a lot of work for the papers taking photos. So I guess you've done many an Anzac Day photos. How moving did you find while you were there? I know you were working, so that probably puts you in a bit of a different frame. You've got to try and get the photos that you know that the papers want. But how did you feel when you were taking those photos?
It is a moving ceremony, both Anzac Day and November the 11th, Remembrance Day. I photographed both for more than a decade, especially in Mount Evelyn, where I live. I'd cover them, sometimes Monbulk and Upway and Sylvan and so on. But you're there to take photos, as you said, but you're also listening to everything that's said.
Yep.
You're watching everybody's reactions. And it is a very moving experience. So I could never go through any of those ceremonies without being touched. And also because I'm in that community and I'm surrounded by people in my community there, it's a lot more effective on me than if I was in a strange place, you know.
Yep. Greg, also, and I really want to talk to you about this because... You've done that for a number of years. In my opinion, and I want you to tell me whether I'm right or wrong, Anzac Day seemed for a long while was very well thought of and, you know, well attended. Then it seemed to go through a bit of a lull that the young people didn't seem to want to take it up. But all of a sudden the last few years, my belief is it's gone right back. Am I right in that?
You are, yeah. When I started photographing it, the crowds weren't too big. And I was actually worried, and each year I'd think, you know, what's going to happen with this? When are they finally going to let go? And there was this big resurgence, and we had the biggest crowds for the last 6 years, probably. Like Mount Evelyn's got 10,000 residents. We would have 1,500 people at the dawn service.
Gee, that's pretty... Dawn service is pretty hard yakka too, isn't it? I mean...
It is.
It's an early get-up.
It's a rotten gig to photograph because they call it a dawn service, but by the time dawn comes, it's over, and it's really hard to photograph in the dark.
Greg, while you're talking about that, and we're not talking now about Anzac Day, we're just talking about photography. I notice you've been taking quite a few in black and white rather than colour. What makes you want to do that?
I love black and white. I'm doing it a lot more now because I'm retired, so I'm taking photographs for myself. I couldn't do it for clients. They wanted colour.
Yep.
That was fine. But for myself, black and white evokes more of a feeling in your photos. So when you look at a black and white photo, or me in particular, and a lot of people, it brings a lot more thoughts to mind. It strikes your interest more. The pictures have more of a story, so more of a feeling to them. And they tend to make you want to look at them for longer.
Do they? All right, let me just ask you another question, that, and this is still on photography. Well, we're all only talking about photography. Do you find now you get more enjoyment out of photography that you're only doing it for yourself rather than when, but of course you're not getting any money for it, or was it more enjoyable when you were paid and told this is the sort of photo we want?
Look, as a job, it was my ideal job. Yep. And when I left school back in the 70s, my goal was to be a photographer for local papers.
Oh.
Yeah, photojournalism in a locality. And I couldn't get there, but I ended up being involved in the print industry with newspapers. So newspapers have been in my life all the time. And so I went through being a printer for years and I did all sorts of other things. And then finally, I ended up in my 50s becoming a photojournalist for local papers. And it was a dream job. Fantastic. I love taking photos. I love going to community events. Put the two together and it was a joy. However, none of the photos that I was taking were for myself. They were all for the client.
Yep.
The paper wanted particular photos, so you had to go along and take those particular photos. And that was quite a challenge.
Yep.
However, now I'm retired, I've got no clients, so I'm using my camera for myself.
Yep.
And I can choose what I photograph. I can choose when I photograph it. I can choose how I photograph it. And it's just fantastic.
So you find that more enjoyable.
Yeah.
All right, Greg, we're going to play a song. It's Paul Simon.
Do you want to tell
us why you picked that one?
It's a song about Kodachrome, and those older people like us would remember that old film, Kodachrome, that Kodak made for your old film cameras, fantastic colours, but really difficult process to develop. So when Kodak finally stopped developing that film, it disappeared and a lot of people miss it.
All right, let's listen.
Black and white, Kodachrome, they give
talking to Greg Carrigan. We're talking about photography. We were talking about it in relation to Anzac Day, but now we've broadened out a bit. Greg, just in my lifetime, which is, yeah, say, not that long, but, yeah, I knew you'd say that, the difference in change in cameras have been phenomenal, and I'm going to ask you to just run us through that very quickly. But can I ask you, first of all, what's driven that change? Is it the consumers want for a better picture? Has it been the commercial photographer like yourself who says, well, these aren't as good as they could be? What's driven the change?
Yeah, numerous factors. When cameras first appeared on the scene, they weren't for consumers. They were almost handmade by people who wanted to use them. And then people like Kodak started companies so that, George Eastman, so that he could then sell to mainly people who would use them for money, so professionals.
Yep.
And then as these big boxes were miniaturized, then it was suitable for the consumer market once they made film that was easy to use.
Yep.
I mean, some of the first consumer cameras put out by Kodak were preloaded with film. So you shot your film and then you took the whole camera into a Kodak store.
And they still do that at weddings, don't they, occasionally?
Yeah. Yep. So your camera disappeared for a week. Oh. And then you got the camera back with a new film in it. So there was a slow progression in the ease of use, and that was commercially consumer-driven. So right. People wanted something that was easier to use.
Yep. Well, then what drove when we get into digital? And I believe that was offered to Kodak, and they knocked it back because they thought that it wasn't going to be a success.
Yeah, Kodak really dropped the ball on that one.
They certainly did, didn't they? So, Greg, if you look at the iPhone now, the image, the clear image of it, I mean, it's phenomenal. So, again, like when we first got our mobile phones, I don't know, 20 years ago or something, they were, well, the first few didn't even have cameras. But, again, has that been driven by what? To get a better picture?
Yeah, but that's also driven by commercialism.
Is it?
Companies competing with each other. So, you know, Apple wants to sell more than any other brand and so on. So there's a lot of development put into phones, not as a phone, because a phone makes a phone call and what else can you do with it?
Yeah,
whereas
that's right.
These extras they put into phones, like cameras, that's where they develop and push their latest model so that you know, you don't buy another brand or you get rid of the old one and get a new one.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, so you want to talk about what's the most important photo in the world?
Yeah, the most important... Look, I worked as a photographer, so yep. My photos had a value put on them.
Yep.
And if, say, as a photographer, I ran an exhibition, I could put values on my photos framed yep. on the wall. However, monetary value doesn't really show how important a photo is. The most important photos in the world are snapshots.
What do you mean by snapshots?
Photos taken by people who aren't photographers
yep.
with maybe even their phones. But back in the day, your parents would have had a cheap little camera
yep.
to take holiday snaps, family snaps. They weren't well composed, they weren't brilliantly lit, nothing like that. But they were records of your daily life. And they are so important. They were very important back then, and they're very important now. So if you got a phone camera, take photos of your kids, your pets, your street, your car. Take those snapshots.
Having spoke, I don't want to get off the track here for a minute, but I saw a photo of you sticking your head out of a VW the other day.
Yes, back in the 80s.
So somebody took that photo?
Yeah, that was the first day I drove the car home and my mum took the photo and I'm standing up with the sunroof. Now, those shots are very important because they are records of the past that is gone.
Yep.
And they're great social documentary and they're great records of not just your life but the socioeconomic times.
Yep.
So what sort of clothes you wear, what sort of job you had, what the houses were like in your street, who could afford what car. All of these records, photographically, keep those things alive because they disappear.
Well, I belong to a couple on, I think, History of Melbourne or something like that on Facebook, and it's amazing to look at some of, like, even the city, when there were just a few houses still in the city, not all offices. So I guess it is. Greg, do we run a risk that, I mean, in the old days, you would print the photos off and you'd have your photo albums and you'd pass them on to your kids and all that sort of stuff. Do we run a risk, because a lot of them put them into the cloud, do we run a risk that if anything goes wrong, that they're lost?
Oh, it's not a risk, it's a certainty.
Is it?
Yeah. Thousands of photos disappear around the world every day because someone will lose their phone or they'll upgrade and forget to get their pictures off. The photos you take as snapshots, you think, oh, they're on the phone. I've got 1,000 photos on the phone.
Yep.
Well, basically, you don't really have them at all. Unless you can hold them in your hand, they don't exist. Print your photos.
So I was going to ask you, should we be printing them?
Absolutely. I remember when digital came out and people had their home printers and they had scanners in them.
Yep.
And people were busy getting all their old photos from shoeboxes and scanning their photos because they think that's how you keep photos nowadays. You scan them, put them in your computer.
Yep.
And then they get rid of their photos. No, it's the opposite way around.
Take them out.
Opposite way around. Get them out of your devices and your computers. Print them. So you got them in your hand.
Good point. And, I mean, one of the things that you were saying before, too, that shows the history of it, because someday we're all not going to be here.
Yeah.
And our grandkids, if there's nothing there, like, they don't know. I mean, I was just saying to you that I belong to a few of these Facebook pages with the history of, and you see photos of the city when there are only a few houses. Like, no. So if somebody hadn't kept them, they'd be gone, wouldn't they?
Yeah. And that's an interesting point, because a few Christmases ago, my uncle gave me as a Christmas present an old cardboard box.
And a cardboard box?
From someone's garage. And I opened it up and it had about 20 glass plates, negatives in it.
Glass plates?
Yeah, 100 years old. And back in the day before film, glass was coated with chemicals and your negative was an actual plate of glass. And I went through and I scanned these glass plates into my computer to see what they were like. And they were from two basic places in Victoria. One was from around Bright and another was in the west of Victoria, a tiny little country town, I can't even remember the name. I digitised all those images and I sent them off to the historical societies in both those places.
Oh, yeah.
And the interest just went through the roof. Yeah, it was amazing. Oh, there's, because some of them were houses, some had people in them. And, you know, oh, who's this? He's related to so-and-so and still lives in Smith Street, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the whole town was different then. And, yeah, the older photos get, the more interesting they become and important.
And we forget. And the next generation didn't know.
Yeah.
Greg, we're fast running out of time. It's been fascinating. But you want to talk about your photo group. You're hoping they'll not charge you this year's... they'll only be silly. Go on.
Yeah, if you have an interest, it's really good to often get involved with other people of the same interest. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's bowls clubs and sport clubs and this and that and the other. There's photo clubs. And there's one in the Yarra Valley. So it's the Yarra Rangers Photographic Society. On the internet, yrps.org. Simple. And they meet a couple of times a month in Coldstream Community Centre.
Yep.
And they do workshops on how to do different aspects of photography. The group itself is quite good and active. Great bunch of people. And the experience level is vast. From people who are just beginning and only have a camera phone, all the way through to retired professionals. And they all know different genres and they all use different equipment. If you can come along and you can learn heaps. And they're a great mob.
Greg, just while you talk about that, is Like, do different professionals have different cameras, or say somebody like yourself who's got who does or did commercial, does your own private stuff? Did you have certain cameras just you would use for work, and others you just use for your own private?
Yeah, because I bought all my gear, my cameras and lenses for professional work. I had a huge range of equipment.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Now that I'm retired, I'm paring it all down because more than half the stuff I don't need anymore. So I just need a basic camera and one or two lenses, really, to cover the sort of stuff I'm interested in now. You don't need a lot of gear to have fun with photography.
What, in your opinion, just yourself, forget about your commercial work, what's the best photo you've ever taken?
Oh, all my photos are good. I remember back when I was late teens, I had a camera and I had no real experience. I was just having fun with the camera. And I took some shots back then, lived down the Mornington Peninsula. And I've got one shot in particular. I'm walking along a back beach and there's big sand dunes and I'm looking up. There's some steps up this sand dune and right at the top, there's this surfer chick. You know, beautiful young lady with sort of long hippie skirt and long hair, and she was just silhouetted at the top of the sand dune, at the top of the steps, and like it's 100 metres away. Can't recognise who she is. And I was down at the bottom and I just saw it and I took that photo and I love it.
Greg, have you ever taken... Just got to go in a couple of minutes to do the... Or, in fact, under a minute ago to do the news. Have you ever taken a photo where after you'd taken it and you were looking at it later on, you found something in it that maybe you shouldn't have seen or someone doing something?
I was covering a cricket match one day for the local papers and you're so busy looking at the action, you don't see everything in the background. And I took this shot of the batsman. I think the wickets had been hit there. A good action shot. And I thought, this is great for the paper. So I took it home, put it in my computer, looked at it, you know, just to fix anything. And there's this dog in the background taking a dump.
Greg, I've got to go. It's been great talking to you. Love to talk to you about photography, and we'll catch up with you later on.
Yep.
Thanks, Greg.